If I mention the name Frederick Lehman, most of you will not know who that is. It's just one of those situations we don't always pay attention to names. You sang one of Lehman's songs earlier, the first hymn we opened up with, The Love of God. It's an amazing, wonderful, and beautiful song. But it's one of those songs that Lehman could not take complete credit for. The third verse, when he wrote this song, he let people know the third verse was actually found in the room of a patient who had passed in an insane asylum. It was found among his belongings. And there's a lot of debate about who actually first wrote them, but I want you to hear these words again. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Apparently within this man's life, in a life of so much pain, he held on to this promise. We can never, ever say enough about the love of God. And today, on this Advent Sunday of Love, we're going to talk about an amazing love. An absolutely amazing love. Now, this is one of those moments in time that was inevitable it would finally show up. From time to time, I have people ask, do you use the Sunday school book to pick out your sermons? I do not. But guess what? For those of you who are in the Gospel Project that Daniel mentioned today, you're going to be familiar with our passage. Matthew 1, 18 through 25. And I promise you, it's from a different perspective than what you heard earlier. But it's an amazing passage of Scripture that lets us see into the heart of what God was doing that was completely and totally unexpected. You see, we know the Christmas story so well, we allow ourselves to forget how absolutely crazy it is. How so far removed from the way we think as human beings, because we know it so well. But this is one of my favorite passages that deal with the story. Luke, when he deals with the birth narrative, does it from Mary's perspective. Matthew does it from Joseph's. And for some reason, except on this particular Sunday, we don't pay enough attention to Joseph. So let's hear the Word of God and see what God is saying to us today in this amazing story of love. The interesting thing about this, I'll go ahead and let you know, don't look for the word love in the passage. The word love doesn't show up, but love is all throughout this passage. So let's take a look and hear the Word of God. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, He did what the Lord, angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. It's important for us to understand and to acknowledge Joseph. Because he played a crucial part in the incarnation of our Lord. He played a very important part in this story that we have come to know so well. And he did so out of a combination, I believe, of obedience and love. And he showed us what it means to love. Now, it's important again to note, while the word love isn't in our text, this story is filled to the brim with love. And how on this particular Sunday, when we give our hearts over to the concept of God's love, how do we ever hope to understand what all was going on and how love drove it all? Well, as we look at our text, we're actually going to find three particular examples of love. And I believe for us to honor Christ on his birth, all three of these examples must be part of our lives. So you ready? Let's take a look at this passage and see the love. And the very first example of love we see in our story is love for God. The very first thing we see is someone's great and mighty love for God. And that someone happens to be Mary. Now, I told you, Luke gives the attention to Mary. Matthew says she was a virgin and she conceived in a miraculous way. And that's what we get. But I want you to understand, while Mary's story is not told in detail in Matthew, a quick look at the overall birth narrative shows Mary's intense love for God. For just a moment, allow yourself to think. When the angel of the Lord came to Mary and expressed what was going to happen, what could it have cost her? Well, to understand that, we must understand that what is said in Matthew is not talking about engagement. Okay? There was a process of engagement when a man and a woman were boy and girl usually, and parents said, we intend our kids to marry. I once asked Jessica, can I pick out her husband? And she said, no, Daddy, not at all. But there was a time when that was the normal thing. There would be an engagement, and if the young lady should decide somewhere along the line she didn't want to marry the guy, she didn't have to. Until the stage of marriage that happens right now that Joseph and Mary had entered into takes place, and that is betrothal, the pledge. That was an ironclad contract. And the only way out of it wasn't a Dear John letter. It wasn't, I've changed my mind. It was a divorce. And a divorce could happen only out of the most dire of circumstances. So God tells Mary through his angel, you're going to have a baby. And Mary's first reaction, how? I've never known a man. And she's smart enough to know how that works. And the Lord's angel told her, it's a miracle. What's going to happen to you comes from the very hand of God. Mary is going to have to tell Joseph, I'm pregnant. Mary's going to have to tell Joseph, I'm pregnant, and it's a miracle. Joseph was smart enough to know how this normally works. So there was a deep and real problem when she goes to her betrothed and says, I'm pregnant. She knows she could be cast out in humiliation before her people. There is still some debate as to whether or not the old law of stoning a woman under those conditions could take place. But she was about to lose everything. And do you remember what Luke says? She told God's angel, "I'll do it. I'll be the handmaid of the Lord." Knowing what it could have cost her, possibly her life itself, her esteem, her acceptance among her family. If Joseph turns her away, she is now a scarlet woman. And she says yes. And there's only one thing in my mind that can possibly explain why Mary was willing to do that. She loved the Lord. She loved him so intensely and so truthfully that she was willing to put her life on the line to please him, to be what he wanted her to be. She loved him. And it was seen in her act of obedience. "I will do, no matter what it costs, what you want." She is willing to follow God, even if it meant her death. Now, folks, let's be honest. To speak of love for God can come very easy when things are going well for us. People do not have a tendency to go into doubt about God's love when the illness is healed, the business succeeds, the relationship is restored. When all of the things we hope for in life come true, we don't tend to say, "But God must not love me." It's when there isn't a healing. When all of our plans fall flat on their face. To quote good old Murphy, "When everything that could go wrong goes wrong." That's when we struggle. And that's when we wonder, does God truly love us? And folks, I'm not putting that down. I'm not saying that's a horrible thing. It's reality. It's very human, and it's real, and it's powerful. We have the doubts. We have the struggle. But when the trials of life appear, and we struggle to wonder, does God really love us? We have a pain to live through. Mary's love for God and her absolute assurance he loves her allows her to face this very dangerous moment in her life. "Without follow you." During this Advent season, may we learn to love God even in the face of personal trials. May we learn to say, "I love God. Things aren't going right. Things aren't what I want them to be, but I'm convinced he loves me, and in all of my faith, I want to love him. I want to serve him. I want to follow him, even when things go wrong." Now, why is it important for that to happen? Why is it needful for we, as followers of Christ, to have love for God when everything implodes? Well, let me tell you a story about Dr. Alexander McLaren. McLaren was a very famous Baptist preacher in London during the 1800s. And his sermon, you can still find copies of his sermons. He's got a whole commentary set where he preaches through the Bible. An amazing minister. And he had a friend who was struggling with doubt, who just couldn't get over his battles. And so McLaren thought, "This will be a good chance. I'm going to preach, because I know he's not the only one." And he started preaching a series of sermons that dealt with intellectual doubt and struggle. And one day, his friend comes to him and says, "I want you to know that I have accepted Christ, and I want to become part of this church." And McLaren, in one of those moments, it seems a little bit odd for him, because he was a really gracious man. He kind of got full of himself for just a moment. He said, well, which of my sermons led you to the Lord? And the man said, your sermons? None of them. Now, a preacher doesn't want to hear that. None of your sermons led me. And he said, let me tell you what happened. I was leaving the church, and a poor little old lady coming out of the church fell down. He said, I went to help her up, and listen what she said. She said, thank you, and then added, do you love Jesus Christ, my blessed Savior? He means everything to me. I did not then, but I thought about it. I found that I was on the wrong road. I still have many intellectual difficulties, but know right now, he means everything to me also. He was moved by a little old lady falling down some stairs. And that has a special place in my heart this week. After I did much the same, the only thing I accomplished was scaring my dad to death. But it's just amazing. In a moment of weakness and pain, her love for Jesus shone out of her. And this man said, I don't have all the answers, but I want to know Jesus the way she does. So our love for God, this is so important. Our love for God needs to be based on who he is and what he does, not on whether or not our life is easy. Commitment to the love of God. Our next example, the second example of love we see in our story, is the love that seeks to protect. And this is a part of the story that just absolutely speaks volumes to my life. Because now we get to see Matthew in one of, I believe, the most amazing stories in the Word of God. Love that seeks to protect. That Joseph loved and wanted to protect Mary was clearly shown by Matthew's comments about Joseph's plan for handling the scandal. Did you hear what it said about this man? He was a righteous man, and he didn't want to cause her public disgrace, so he sought to divorce her quietly. Now, there are some translations that use a word like dismiss. He wanted to dismiss her, to just kind of get her out of the way. Folks, we're used to that in this world, aren't we? We're used to people of power and prominence trying to quiet the scandal by removing it from sight. That's not what's being said here. We also have people question, well, how could Joseph be a righteous man if he wants to divorce his wife? You need to understand what faithful to the law meant for Joseph. His chief goal in life was to be the man God wanted him to be. And he is now faced with one of the most horrible situations such a man could face. My wife, because in the betrothal period, they were considered man and wife. They couldn't live together, they couldn't have relations, but they were considered man and wife. My wife has been unfaithful. And I cannot close my eyes to that. Now, there was in the Israeli law a reality he could have brought her before the courts, and if Rome permitted it, she could have been stoned. But we're told he figured it out in his mind. He planned it. It was his well-thought-out purpose. I want to divorce her quietly. Now, what this means, Joseph was ready to divorce Mary in the least scandalous way possible. And that kind of divorce meant only two people need to know about it. Joseph and one other person. Now, why did he want to do that? Because he didn't want her to be disgraced. It's possible the divorce would happen. Maybe she would have gone and lived with Elizabeth. We don't know all of the details. But his mind was, I don't want to crush her. I've been a minister for 40 plus years now. And normally, when I see couples face a question of infidelity, and that's what it appeared to Joseph, I rarely see people who are gracious. I rarely see people who say, we need to work this out. It turns bitter and ugly quickly. And Joseph said, I'm not going to do that to her. Now, why? He was a righteous man. He had a right to protect his name. He had a right to crush this scandal and say, this was none of my doing. Why did he want to put her away quietly? Because I believe Joseph actually loved Mary. And he wasn't just thinking of himself. He wanted to protect her as much as he possibly could, because he loved her. Now, that's not the way we in our country normally think of arranged marriages. We have all these images of you gotta marry and it doesn't matter what you feel. But I think there is strong evidence here that Joseph loved and wanted to protect Mary from shame, from humiliation, from facing all of those things she would have to face. By the way, just to let you know, that even when he married her, she was not free from that. You may or may not know this. The enemies of Christ long ago created a rumor that Mary's child was the child of a Roman soldier. They still tried to destroy her name. But Joseph did everything he could to love her, even though he thought, she's done me wrong. That's an amazing kind of love. That's kind of love with Hosea, loving Gomer, when God says, I want you to go marry a prostitute, and I want you to take her back into your life after she's failed you. Joseph loves Mary. And once again, if we're honest, we will recognize to speak of loving people is easy if they do what we want. I love you if. That's the way we live in this world, isn't it? I love you if you'll love me. I'll love you if you'll treat me right. I will love you if you do what I want you to do. I will love you if. This week I was sharing with a couple of folks. I finished Brother Floyd's funeral on Tuesday a couple of weeks ago and then started out toward Texas. I was leaving Wiggins, headed over to GPS, taking me down its track, and there was a log truck in front of me stopped. So I stopped. I'm in a Mitsubishi Mirage. I have no illusions that I can drive through a truck. And all of a sudden I hear screeching tires. And I look into my rearview mirror, and I see a big white Ford Bronco hauling a trailer about to run over me. I have no illusions about what that will do to my Mitsubishi Mirage. He literally had to go off the road to keep from hitting me. And I would love to tell you, my very first reaction is, I love you, brother, in the love of Jesus. My first reaction is, I can't even get out of Mississippi before you crazy people come for me. When we really understand what love is about, love says, even if you fail me, I won't quit loving you. Now, I fully understand there are times boundaries are necessary. And I know that. Relationships struggle and falter and have problems. I know there are times we can stay together if you work at it. I get that. But folks, even when the boundaries are crossed and the relationship breaks apart, do you know what? That doesn't free us from loving people. That doesn't mean I have to stay, but Christ has taken away my right to hate. And I need to understand those people who hurt me, those people who don't do what I want them to do, I need to pray for them. I need to care about them. I need to hope for them, God's blessing and miraculous love to flow into their lives. So during this season of Advent, may we learn the true meaning of loving our neighbors as ourselves. Because that's what this is about. Loving our neighbors as ourselves. Do you notice these are two things that Jesus talked about in his ministry? What's the most important thing you can ever do? Love God with everything in you. And the second is like, love your neighbor as yourself. Mary was incredibly fortunate to find a man like Joseph who loved her. And we need to understand we are called to love. You've heard me say it before. I'm quite certain you'll hear me say it more than once again. Christ, said just a minute ago, Christ took away my right to hatred the moment he came into my life. And I need to learn what it means to love. Tony Evans points out that a lot of people have birthmarks. You may have one, a mole, a particular marking on your body that is yours and yours alone, and your family knows about all that kind of stuff. He says designers have trademarks. And you may not ever have read the trademark, but I bet you, you're able to recognize a Nike trademark and many others because it says, this is the brand. This is it. Listen to what he says and grab hold of it. God likewise has established a mark, a very clear mark by which his children who have been birthed by the Spirit ought to be known. Love is the birthmark of the Christian. Without the birthmark of love, other people really don't know who you are. We should not be surprised when people call our faith into question if we are people full of anger, hatred, when we refuse to offer forgiveness, when we just strike. Let's learn what it means to love. And think of what a difference that will make. Folks, right now, think in our nation, in our world, what a difference it will make if people see not only do we love God, we love them. Might make it a little easier to share our faith. Then our final example, the third glorious example of love we see in our story is God's love for those in need of a Savior. This is absolutely amazing. God tells Joseph, you don't have to be afraid to take Mary to be your wife. The love that drove the actions of Mary and Joseph can never overshadow the amazing love of God. God says, don't be afraid because I've done something. She is carrying a child by the Holy Spirit, and there is a major reason this is happening. And it's even wrapped up in his name, Jesus. Every time Mary would call out the name Jesus, every time Joseph would yell to Jesus, bring him a board or a tool, they were telling all who would hear, Yahweh saves. That's his name. He is going to bring salvation to the human race. He will bring forgiveness for people and their sins. And God said, this is why Mary's pregnant. This is why you need to marry her. This is why you need to help guide this child and protect this family. Because I have a purpose that is about people coming out of their sin. And this is an amazing truth and statement. He's saying this isn't an act of sin. Mary has done nothing wrong. This is an act of God. And the reason, why in the world would God do this? Because he loves us with a love we can't even begin to fully understand. Two times today, you've already heard Romans 5:8. Let's make it three. God shows his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you mark in your Bibles, you need to mark that passage. If you don't, mark it in your heart. God loves us with this tremendous, amazing, and powerful love. And it wasn't based on goodness. It wasn't based on our merit. We sometimes talk about Mary as though she were this super amazing godly woman. Do you remember Mary's reaction? Mary doesn't tell God, well, I kept waiting. I was wondering when you were going to choose me. Mary says, I don't know what you're talking about. This can't be me. I'm the handmaid. I'm nobody important. Joseph isn't chosen because he's the godliest man on earth. This is all grace of God. Yes, they love the Lord. Yes, they loved each other. But God says, I'm going to use you to touch this world. And folks, we need to grab hold of this. In a world of sorrow and pain, people desperately need to know that they are loved beyond their wildest dreams. I don't know how many times in the years I've served the Lord, I've had somebody tell me, Danny, God can't love me. You don't know what I've done. And I will usually respond if I know them, yes, and you don't know what I've done. God loves us. You see, the world is familiar with, I love you if. That's the way the world works. There are broken people in this world who need to know that God says, I love you. Period. As Natalie said. And who's going to tell them? Is God going to hire a plane to ride it in the sky? Is God going to send angels into every household? Is God going to speak over the loudspeakers of every sporting event? You know how the world's going to know, don't you? We've got to tell them. We tell them and we show them and we let the love of Christ flow out of our lives into theirs, and we tell people, God loves you. And you don't have to get right before he will. You don't have to get your life together. Everybody's thinking, when I get myself together, I'll come to Jesus. No, you won't. Because you'll never get yourself together. Only God can save us. Because he loves us. And he paid the price. During this season of Advent, may we embrace and proclaim the awesome love of God. And I've warned you about this before. For some reason I've been out for 2 weeks. That might have something to do with it. I haven't warned you this week, this year, in Advent. When the clerk at whatever store tells you, Happy Holidays, please don't yell at them. Please don't get mad at them. How many of you remember when happy holidays was a perfectly acceptable thing to say? It covered everything, didn't it? Thanksgiving could even cover Halloween if you wanted. Thanksgiving and Christmas. And it has become a thing where people fuss and yell. Isn't that kind of detrimental to God loves you and so do I? We need to show the love of Christ, even to the Scrooges of this world, even to people who nearly run over you on Interstate 10. We need to show the love of Christ, the love that God says, I love you, period. In St. Paul's Cathedral in London, there's a statue, and I realize that many Baptists kind of cringe if I mention a statue with Christ on the cross. But this particular statue shows him writhing in agony, and this is why I absolutely love it. Inscribed on that statue are these words: this is how God loved the world. And all those people out there who are living ungodly lives have the potential to know the grace of God. And we need to be telling and sharing and shining, because we don't know what God's already doing in their hearts. And he's called us to take the gospel. So, it's Advent. And you've looked at hope, peace, joy, and today, love. We need to show this love. Paul wrote to the church at Rome, let love be genuine. I ask you to bow your heads right now. And I am fully aware that this is a tough thing to look at, because love is not easy. There are so many challenges. Humanly speaking, we too often react not the way God would have us to do. So today, if you have failed in the act of love, ask God to forgive you. Ask God's grace to move in you. Ask the Lord God Almighty to allow you to love people the way he does. And God Almighty, who loves you, promises, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us be people of love. God Almighty, come to you in the name of Jesus, and I ask you to fill us with a love that will not die, a love that is true, a love that shows the world what they can have in you. Through Christ, amen. Would you stand? If you'd like, I would love to pray with you. If you'd like to pray here at the altar where you are, ask God, let me love the way you want me to, God.